I want to continue the Life in Christ series, and the theme this Sunday is truth. Last Sunday was connection, this Sunday is truth. And the main text for this series, Life in Christ series, is John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says this, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And yeah, church said, my mind went just blank. I think, brothers and sisters, church. Anyway, you know, we are Christians. Okay, we are Christians. And so, as a Christian, Heavenly Father loves us and wants a relationship with us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin and redeemed us. And the Holy Spirit power lives in us. But then, the question that I had during this series is, how come life is such a struggle? Okay? As a Christian, how come life is such a struggle? So life in Christ, okay, it is a promise of a full life, but that promise is not automatic. There is a struggle in the midst of that promise, because that very verse, Jesus says right before it, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus says, "I came. I came that you may have life and life to the full." Jesus did not promise a comfortable life, a life without suffering, a life without struggle. The promise that of life in Christ is in the midst of the struggle as we live in this broken world. You know, the Bible is filled with people that struggle. Adam and Eve, they really struggled. They brought sin into the world. That's catastrophic failure there. Moses, as a prince of Egypt, wanted to deliver God's people from slavery, and he failed. He failed, and so he had to run away and hide in the wilderness. Apostle Paul, his ministry was to persecute the Christians. No? And so we see life in Christ means that God's promise of a full life is in the midst of our struggle. God redeems the failure of his people. That's the promise of God. Adam and Eve, even though they brought sin into the whole universe, God sent his only son, Jesus, to redeem not just their sin, but the sin of the whole world. Moses, okay, God worked in him in the wilderness for 40 years and raised him up to be the deliverer of God's people. And Apostle Paul, even though he persecuted Christians, God redeemed him. He became the greatest missionary that ever lived. You know, we might be afraid of struggle, but God, this is the promise of Jesus. I have come so that you may have life. We might be afraid of struggle, but God moves and flows in our struggle. His disciples, Jesus' disciples, struggled all the time if you look at the gospel. But he did not get new sets of disciples, but Jesus redeemed their weakness, their failures, their struggle. So last week, life in Christ flows through connection, and meaning an intimate relationship with God. Today, life in Christ flows through truth. Okay, truth. Meaning, we're called to live the Word of God. When we live the truth of God's Word, we have life in Christ. And the church said. And so, you know, I just have one point, you know. Choose the voice of truth. Okay, choose the voice of truth. Say that to your neighbor. In this dark time, every day, the circumstances will speak lies to us. Even your feeling will lie to us. Your thoughts will lie to us. The pressure and stress, your fear will lie to us. The media will lie to us. Political leaders will even lie. Maybe even people that's close to you. And if you choose to listen to those voices instead of God's voice, James chapter 1 says you will lack wisdom. You will be like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. See, your theology has to speak into your heart more than the struggles that you're encountering. You need to establish a very strong, especially in this dark time, you need to establish a strong biblical belief system that doesn't waver in the midst of the storm. Our stability as a Christian is based on what we believe to be true, what God says. But if it is based on feeling, thoughts, what the world says, what the devil says, the Bible says we'll be tossed back and forth. We'll be unstable. Right? We'll be double-minded. We'll be very confused. So how we tackle our struggle in life is the byproduct of a very strong belief system. If you don't have a strong belief system, again, you'll be double-minded. You'll be unstable in all you do. If biblical truth is what is true to you, despite the storm, God will flow in the midst of your struggle. There will be life in Christ. You know, people, we want this quick fix all the time. You know, we want to microwave our struggles, you know, so that we have this quick fix. During this time, you need to take time for theology, doctrine, and biblical truth. If you do not know and understand and practice biblical truth, we will be unstable. Okay? You will be unstable. Now, for example, you know, your position in Christ, your identity in Christ, your life in Christ. We need to know what the Bible says about our purpose, what the Bible says about the temporal and eternal, what the Bible says about how we should treat one another, how we should treat fellow human beings. And the Bible says a lot about that, especially during this time. I'm kind of going off script now. You know, one of the big issues was racism, right? Racism. And, you know, I told you I was ordained in a black church. My first church, Harvest, was a multi-ethnic church. When I was in the black church, you know what helped me? I know it's not nowadays right to say this, but I didn't see color when I was in the black church. I didn't see color. What I saw was the people in that church, they are creation of God. They're human beings created in the image of God in their likeness. That was the biblical truth that I held on to when I was ordained in a black church. When I pastored a multi-ethnic church, again, when I looked out into the congregation, I had this biblical truth. They are creation of God, created in their likeness, in God's image. Now I'm pastoring Catalyst Church. And it's mostly, if you look around, I'm going to be honest, Korean Americans. Okay? Look around, okay? if you didn't notice that. And you know what helps me as your pastor, as I deal with your brokenness? You are God's creation, created in his likeness and his image. But something happened in the last 2 years. It's not just racism, but people hate each other because of political parties now. If you're a Republican or Democrat, people hate each other. You know why? Because of masks. I was in California. I'm going to share with you what happened in California. I was in Orange County, and I was in downtown L.A. When I was in downtown L.A., I had a mask on, but my nose was showing. And people were screaming at me. They were, you know, giving me mean looks. 30 minutes, you know, south of downtown LA in Orange County, when I had the mask on, they gave me dirty looks. 30 minutes away. People hate each other based on what they prefer with mask. Now, it's about vaccination. I was watching news, and one of the anchor persons says, you know, those who are not vaccinated, we should just let them die. That's what they said. We should just let them die. Don't give them health care. Don't give them health care. You know, they're saying the unvaccinated are uneducated. That's what they're saying. And so now, there's this tension between the vaccinated, unvaccinated, mask, no mask, Republican, Democrat. And how are we going to, if we can't get along in those areas, how can we defeat racism? We're fighting over masks and hating each other because of masks. How are we going to overcome injustice? You know, when you ask, when you need to talk to those who are not vaccinated, I'm just going to be honest, I'm vaccinated. You need to talk to those who are unvaccinated. One of the reasons one person says I'm not vaccinated is because I had COVID. And science says if I had COVID, I still have the antibodies. It's 10 times more powerful than the vaccine to deal with the Delta virus. Right? That's what science says. Right? Another person I talked to who are not vaccinated, they say, you know, this is very new. And I'm a little nervous about this. And I feel that that's legitimate, that feeling. Another person that I talked to who was not vaccinated, you know what they told me? We don't trust the government. We don't trust what the CDC is saying. We don't trust what the media is saying right now because there's so much suppression of facts, information, and I see that to be true. Right. And so, you know, for me, like, you know, I have a daughter, Anna, she's the first first person to go to college from this church, Anna. And she's a senior right now. And every time she comes back, the philosophy changed her. You know, it's different now. Okay, it's very different. She's getting very influenced by what we call woke philosophy from the university. And you know, it's different. It used to be same when she was in high school, and now she's in college. When she comes back, it's a different philosophy. But you know what? I have peace. Okay? I don't get angry at her. Okay? We don't scream at each other. I don't go, how can you believe in that? We don't do that. You know why? She's my daughter. She's my daughter. I'm her father. Right? Here, you're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to know each other eternally. Jesus is in the center of our relationship. My Anna is a believer. She's my daughter, but she's a believer. Jesus is in the center of this relationship, which is more powerful than father-daughter relationship. So I could disagree with her and still love her, still be a father to her. She's still my daughter. Amen? So the Bible talks about how we should treat our fellow human beings. what we should live for and what is important in life. And if we don't listen and live the word of God, we will be lost. We will go our own way. There is no truth. Without truth, John 8 says there's no freedom. Without truth, you'll be a house built on a sand, and when the storm hits, the house will collapse. The house will fall. Truth precedes practice. Right? You know, Apostle Paul, when you look at his writing, especially in the book of Romans and Ephesians and Colossians, what you see, first few chapters, he presents doctrine, doctrinal truth. And then the later chapters is practical, how to practice, live that truth out. And the doctrine that he mostly presents is who you are in Christ, in Christ. Again and again, he says, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Teaching us our position and inheritance that's in the Lord. And so when you look at the book of Ephesians, right? Chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, stand firm against the enemy. Okay? Stand firm. But what he taught before that in chapter 2, he taught the church, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. How can we practice standing firm if we do not understand the doctrinal truth that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm? The truth of being victoriously raised in Christ precedes, you know, power over the enemy. In the midst of the spiritual attack, the assurance of our position in Christ enables us to make a stand. Most of us, when we think about spiritual warfare, is rebuking the evil spirit, identifying the evil spirit. But Paul says, no, know who you are in Christ first. Know your identity in Jesus, your position in Jesus. Then you can stand. You can stand. John chapter 8 says, the devil is the father of lies. There's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And what we see in the book of Genesis, in the garden, this was the first strategy when attacking Eve in the garden. There are so many different ways that the devil could have attacked Eve. Okay? Maybe attacked her insecurity, you know. No one loves you. No one wants you. You are all alone. Maybe say to Eve, you know, you're not that beautiful. And attack the insecurity. Maybe the devil could have attacked her relationship with Adam. Adam, it's not a good husband. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't really love you. He's spending most of his time with those animals. He's not spending that much time with you. He's just using you. There are so many different ways the devil could have attacked Eve. But what did the devil do? The first thing the deceiver did is question God's word in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent said to the woman, Did God really say? The devil plants a seed of doubt to God's word. In this dark time, you know, the thought will come that God didn't really mean that for me. Oh, it's not for us. Not for now. Maybe hundreds of years ago, it applied, but not in the modern time. We're so much more smarter, more evolved. God didn't really mean that for me. More than any time, we need to meditate. We need to know and understand and practice and live the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart." The word of God is alive, it is active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Some of the bitterness, brokenness, rejection goes very deep. But what this passage says, the word of God is able to go to your deepest part of your soul. And it's alive. It's able to heal. It's able to set you free. It's able to transform you. What I notice about the armors of God in Ephesians chapter 6, it mentions the breastplate of righteousness, sandal, that is the gospel of peace, shield of faith, and helmet of salvation. There's two armor that's related with truth. The sword, which is offensive, and the belt that holds you up. Okay? The belt of truth. The sword, that's the word of God. And so, and you see Jesus, for 30 years, you don't see much information about Jesus. In that 30 years, he had no followers. It doesn't talk about any ministry that he did. I don't think he led a Bible study. But what we do see as a little boy, that he knew the word of God. When he was at the temple, the scribe was so impressed by this little boy, Jesus, how much he knew about the word of God. So I believe in that 30 years, Jesus was just meditating and memorizing and studying and living the word of God. And so, when Jesus began the ministry, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was fasting. Jesus was physically weak because he was fasting, and the devil was attacking him. But how did Jesus defeat the devil? So during this dark time, you're being spiritually attacked. There's lies all around you. The weakness that you thought you overcame, it came back more powerfully right now. What do you do? How did Jesus defeat the devil? Every time the devil came to tempt Jesus, he said, "It is written." The devil comes back and he said, "It is written." The devil comes back to tempt Jesus. And Jesus says, "It is written." Jesus defeated the devil by truth of God's word. It is written. You know, on your phone, okay, nobody carries a book anymore, but on your phone is the Bible. Some of you, you know where the Snapchat is, the Instagram, your Gmail, your Facebook. But do you know where your Bible app is? You know how to use so efficiently all the other apps. Do you know how to use your Bible app? You know, if you don't know how to handle the truth, the word of God, if you don't meditate on it, you don't memorize it, you don't study it, you don't put your faith in it, if you don't practice it during this dark time where it's raining and wind and shaking, we will be unstable. We will be unstable. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 25 says this, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Church, there's different kind of storms that's come. Rain, stream, wind. How are we going to stand in the midst of the storm? The house needs to be built on the foundation of the Word of God. How are you going to go through the storm of life? How are you going to fight the good fight? You must hold on to unchanging truth. Your life must be on the foundation of Scripture. See, the foundation determines how big the structure you're going to build on. If the foundation is weak, you can't build much on it. If the foundation is strong, you could build the tallest building in the world. Those who hear and put the Word of God into practice is a person who's going to build his or her life on truth. God's Word is truth. If you build your life on God's Word, you build on things that never change. When the storm of life comes, when you are in the midst of trials and temptation, when in spiritual battle, when you're struggling right now, you will overcome. You will be victorious. There'll be life in Christ. Amen. Let's pray.